All right, and the Yankees lose.
Start the party, Los Angeles! Your Dodgers have won the World Series!
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
Whatever.
Yep, whatever.
Channel 3 Sports Director Joe Zone on the phone. What do you think?
Horrible, you know. Like anybody who sat there through that fifth inning and saw that thing come apart, it was almost hard to see what I was watching and couldn't believe I saw it. And in the end, the best team obviously won. The way they played and the way the Yankees fell apart in a game where they looked like they had put it away, and the Dodgers even had thought the manager was already managing basically for the next game, and the wheels came off in the ugliest inning of baseball that I can remember at any level.
Really? On any level?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some Little League game. I mean,
you know. Like the Bad News Bears all of a sudden.
It was atrocious.
Yeah, well, there are three big ones.
Where are you throwing the ball to?
I mean, you know, you can't. It's amazing how you can jump up into the wall and save and make an incredible catch, and then just that very basic, simple play. You know, I can see how that could happen. Not covering first base and not getting out of that inning. That was a huge, huge. That was Buckner-esque. Believe me, unbelievable.
Yeah. That inning should have been over. I remember when the announcer said, yeah, he's been out there for 17 minutes. I'm like, oh, damn.
They were counting the pitches that he had thrown past how many outs they should have had already. They're like, well, he's like 26 pitches past where they should have just been on the bench right now.
Oops.
Yeah. It was two more innings that he, worth of pitches. And what was amazing was is that he actually gathered himself, came out, and pitched again. And the Yankees took the lead yet again after that. And still couldn't figure out a way how to close it out. Look, they were trying to do something that has never been done. So I look at it in that light. It was unlikely they were going to, well, it's never been done. It was unlikely they were going to win four in a row. But when you get there, you know, and now you say, man, we're going back to L.A., there's a chance. But in the end, the best team won. I mean, the Dodgers are, you know, they have
their steamroller.
They played well, and hats off, but it looked pretty good there when Judge comes up and hits that two-run homer to start, and then, you know, Chisholm hits one. It looked good, but here we are. You know what I say? Go Huskies.
Yeah, Joe Zone Channel 3 on. Talking about the Yankees implosion last night.
Yeah.
Man, the first couple innings, they looked so good. I thought, man, they're here. This could go.
Yeah.
The whole this could be a game seven.
This could work.
They keep playing. Maybe they just woke up.
Yeah.
There were definitely a lot of maybes, a lot of optimism. I know. I'm saying that maybe they're going back to L.A. We're going to have some World Series baseball, and I'm already trying to figure out how I'm going to cover the UConn football game Friday night. Keep track of the Yankees. Do all that stuff. And the Yankees made it easy for me. Now I can go and cover the UConn football game Friday night and not have to worry about what the Yankees are doing. In fact, I'll move right on to the next event. That's the great thing about sports. You jump off of one, and if you got more, you jump on another. If you don't have another, you sit back, be neutral, and just enjoy the games, period.
Right.
The formula.
Sunday, I'll be suffering watching the Cowboys, so right. Can't wait.
You're not done yet. You're still with them.
You're talking about after you watch the UConn women play Fort Hays State on the wax.
That's right.
First you watch that at noon.
That's what I meant. John.
Right, right.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was implied already.
Yeah, I thought that went without saying.
Right.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah. Joe Zone Channel 3, what are you doing for Halloween?
Actually, I've got one of my daughters in town. The other lives in town, and we're gonna go get some chicken wings and put on scary movies. And
that's great.
I live up on top of a hill in a very quiet neighborhood, so we never get more than three or four trick-or-treaters, which is a good thing for me because there's a lot of left. We buy a lot anyway, and then there's a lot left over.
Wow. I was going to say, you giving them chicken wings?
Yeah. Open your bag.
Those are just for us.
What's happening, Yarrow?
It's going to be a night at J. Tim's.
Nice.
Boom. Oh, that's a good plan.
Your wings dirty everything.
That's right. You just throw a handful of wings in the bag. All like really wet, you know?
Some of those wet wipes, you throw them in there.
Can I have a carrot and a celery stick?
The wing out, it's covered in candy corn.
Don't forget your blue cheese.
I don't want to set a precedent. We'll start having everybody here if we start throwing wings in the bags.
I'm going to your house.
Joe Zone Channel 3. Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you on the next big event.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Joe Zone Channel 3 Sports. 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Halloween.
Yes. Great holiday.
Are you being sarcastic?
Not at all.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Oh, I love Halloween. It's great.
Cool. You handed out candy tonight?
Well, I would if people came to my front door. I'd actually hand out concert tickets if I could, but really? Nobody comes to my front door.
What's the address?
Really? Let's
candy and concert tickets.
We'll be there.
Yep.
You just have to call, guys.
Oh, okay.
You just have to email. You don't have to get dressed up for that.
You know, we're going to lay low tonight, too.
Yeah.
We normally, you know, hand out candy, and tonight we're just...
It lost its flair. It really did.
I don't think for the kids. I think when you get older, it loses its flair. But I just don't have the people showing up that warrants me going out getting candy.
Gotcha.
I turn on lights. I have
decorations. You do it up.
And, I have put a speaker out, and there's, you know, then it's like eight kids coming. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yep.
I get like secondhand excitement. I get all excited to see the kids. I go out. I buy way too much candy.
Right.
And then I always have left over. So I'm always hopeful. I'm like, hopefully this is the year we get like a big turnout.
Well, I used to always buy a lot of candy purposely.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'd have it at the end.
Exactly.
What was your go-to?
Oh, I would buy that mix of all those bars.
Okay.
Milky Ways, Three Musketeers, you know, and just throw them all into a big, giant pumpkin. And then when the kids come to the door, I'd say, just reach in and take what you want.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
The Reese's Cups, Kit Kats.
Yep.
Nestle Kit Kats, Crunch. Yeah,
Kit Kats, definitely.
I had a Kit Kat yesterday, actually.
Snickers.
100 Grand Bar. Love those.
100 Grand Bar. Oh, love them. Yeah, good move. Yeah,
that's great. A great one.
And
because you don't see it everywhere.
You don't see it everywhere. Yeah. It's really good.
Right.
Milky Way Dark, and Payday.
Oh, those are all good.
Yep.
I think the $100,000 bar is the most least recognized great candy there is.
Seriously.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Yep. Nobody talks about the $100,000 bar.
Can you find them now?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Big time, yeah.
Not in AJ's house. He eats all of them.
Oh, no. They're gone. They're gone. I'm stuffing like massive amounts in my mouth.
We got the Reese's Pumpkins this year and Butterfinger. And then I think we got
rocks.
Skittles and Kit Kat for kids that might have peanut allergies. So we have two different bowls.
Mm. Oh, peanut allergies. Oh, I never thought of that.
Right. Here, I'll eat in front of you, kid.
That's why no one comes to your house anymore, Jimmy.
They're all dead.
What? You can't eat this? I'll eat it for you.
There used to be a lot of kids in this neighborhood. Where they all
I don't understand.
Oh, they were all dead in the front yard now. Now I figured out what happened.
Boy, that Mr. Koplik has a real realistic Halloween display.
I got a weird gummy.
Oh, my God. That's going to end up happening, huh? People can give out the wrong gummy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that does happen.
Yeah.
There are those stories.
Yep.
Yeah. So you got to be
very
careful.
When we were growing up, it was pins in apples.
Yeah. Razor blades and apples.
Yes. That's when we were growing up. I don't know if that's still the case.
I think they do edibles now.
Yeah.
Well, I never wanted an apple anyway on Halloween.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's fruit. That's like vegetables. Like, yeah.
My mother was definitely horrified by this, I think, story. When we'd go trick-or-treating, there was this one sweet woman in our neighborhood. She gave out popcorn balls that she had, like, decorated with, like, Halloween colors and stuff, you know, like sprinkles or whatever.
Nobody wants that.
I was excited. I'd never seen one before, so I was excited as, like, a seven-year-old. My mom goes, let me see that, and takes it and goes, oh, I dropped it on the road. Oh, stepped on it.
I used to live in a neighborhood that remember Mark's Toys, M-A-R-X Toys? It was a toy company?
Yeah.
They lived in my neighborhood, and they gave out toys.
Wow.
Nice.
Whoa.
There was a line at their door. Truly,
I don't doubt it.
I'm going to the Ford house then.
There was a house.
Look, I got a free Mustang.
There was a house in White Hills that she would bake like little cupcakes.
Before
little cupcakes were even, I never even saw one before.
Right, yeah.
I don't know where she got the pants from, but man, we would, you know, get them, eat them, switch masks, go back.
Oh, because you like them. Yeah. I think their projectiles coming.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You would switch masks. That's yeah. Great.
Oh, yep. My God. It's so good.
Next year, the masks isn't fitting anymore. I gained too much weight.
I wish I thought of that when it was the Mark's Toys. I could have gotten a toy store worth of toys.
Damn. Right, yeah, imagine that. It's probably worth a lot of money now.
I don't think people do the home bake stuff anymore.
No.
I don't think there's enough trust.
No, they bake at home, right?
No. And inflation hit the $100,000 bar. It's probably the $300,000 bar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I'll still take it.
All right. Let's talk concerts. Did you... It looks like you used to have a lot of concerts on Halloween. Do we still do that or not really?
Well, you know, there was a period of time that I was against doing concerts on Halloween because I figured everybody that came to the concert couldn't give out candy and they'd come home to a house that was egged.
Oh.
That's not really good. So the list isn't real long because I'm always worried about that. You know, I think parents might say, you know, I want to take my kids around on Halloween, or I don't want my house egged. I'm not going to the concert. So our list of, you know, we did probably 10 or 15 shows in my history in Halloween. My favorites were Jethro Tull, always. But
I was at one of those.
Yeah.
The one you have listed here, 1978, Jethro Tull with Uriah Heep at New Haven Coliseum.
That was, I think, the first of two nights, or the second of two nights.
That's right.
That's the one we caught the thing in the eye?
Two nights.
No.
Oh, okay.
That was later.
Okay.
And we had a great time, and I knew Ian then. I haven't spoken to Ian in years from Jethro Tull. And I asked him for Halloween, because I always thought his mannerisms on stage were sort of Halloween-ish, and he wore tights with his long hair. And
his codpiece.
Yeah, he was very Halloweenish to me. He was
yeah.
different. I remember the first time I ever saw him live, I went, what the heck is that? Running across the stage, hopping across stage on one leg with a flute in his hand.
Did you rub your eyes? Like, what the hell am I seeing here? Look at that joint. What's
so
in this?
So when, you know, 1989 came around and we were doing another tour, he was doing another tour, I asked for Halloween again. And he remembered how I sat down with him 10 or 12, 11 years earlier, and I said how much I love doing Jethro Tull on Halloween. He purposely gave New Haven again the Halloween show.
It would be a fun show, like back in the day, Alice Cooper in like the mid-70s, doing a Halloween show.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he generally did it in his hometown of Detroit.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Short drive.
What do you remember, like, the first, did he give you any warning that, I'm going to cut my head off, and then I'm going to hang myself, and then, you know, there's going to be a snake, and...
That's just a start.
Or did he just come in and just started doing this stuff? How did that work?
Well, he was usually on the golf course all day, and we had to put him under a fake name, Alice, because then golf was very uncool. Now all the artists play golf.
Yep.
But back in the 70s, we had to use his real name, Vincent Fernier, to get him on a golf course. So he would barely make the show. He loved golf so much. So, no, he never warned us on anything. He was a character on stage. He was not who he was off stage. He was very normal off stage, but on stage he was very weird.
Do you get any complaints from his show? Because there was,
some
freaky stuff happened.
Oh, no question. The guillotine was a complaint we got from certain people. You know, that you're right, that's very Halloweenish. So,
yeah.
When we cut his head off, you know, when we had snakes, we had to have somebody from the Department of Wildlife from the state of Connecticut come and check out the snake, which is a pain in the butt, to tell you the truth. But we'd have somebody come by and make sure the snake's healthy, and, you know, it's a captive snake, so it needed to be fed properly that day.
No, it's just a mouse.
Connecticut's very overregulated. It's not like a lot of other states.
Right.
I mean, so... it was very difficult, but Alice was always a lot of fun, and he's always very normal. That was the crazy part of the whole thing. He was only Halloweenish on stage.
Cool.
And what a show. And, you know, him, Kiss, they really kind of brought that theatrics to the stage.
Yep, absolutely.
But him with the head cutting and the hanging and all of that stuff.
Pioneer.
He was a pioneer.
The first.
Yeah.
You're right. He was the first. And we're working on getting him back to Mohegan Sun sometime early next year.
You can text or call 203-882-9757 from the text. Any news on Billy Idol coming to Connecticut from Henry in New Britain?
I he's very hard to get out on the road, Billy Idol. He plays a couple of dates and then doesn't. And I feel worse for Steve Stevens, who's his guitar player, because he doesn't have the money that Billy has. But I do think that you're going to see him in 2025. We have spoken to his agent. He's trying to get Billy on the road. If he gets Billy on the road, we'll probably have a good Mohegan Sun show.
Cool. Any news on the Foo Fighters?
No, none at all. I think they're laying low. I hope they stay together. Let's put it that way.
Right. Oh, well, why would you say something like that?
Because I have a feeling that when these sort of things happen, artists like Dave Grohl might turn a new leaf and try to figure something else out to do. Not, you know, be musical, don't get me wrong. But, you know, putting the Foo Fighters on hiatus is sometimes the beginning of maybe they're not getting back together. I don't know. I know nothing. Obviously, I didn't even see him at the festival, so I haven't spoken to him.
Right.
But, look, I feel bad, very bad for him. I think he's just a general, he's a rock and roller, and he's getting, you know, he feels bad about what he did, which I understand, but I'm so used to it in rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rolling right off me.
You know, it's one thing to make a mistake, but then when the whole world knows it, it's kind of a drag,
yeah.
You know?
My God.
You know? It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing, no question about it. It's the wrong thing to do, no question about that. Loyalty to in marriage is key, no question about that. But I've seen so much in rock and roll, and he's a rock and roller. He should just pick up and get back on stage and play again, so
yep.
I'm concerned.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, why do you call a hot dog with no meat in it?
Your face. I don't know.
A Halloweeny.
Move on. What was it?
A Halloweeny.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay. Sorry, you probably had a real good question, too. Jim and East Haven.
I got a question for Jimmy.
Okay.
I was wondering if you heard anything about Iron Maiden to Connecticut.
No word. Very disappointed. Hopefully 2025 we'll see him. But,
there's a hunger for them. Jimmy gets asked every week.
Seriously.
I call that the Steely Dan question. It goes back in the 80s. That was what I would have said. When is Steely Dan getting back together? When are they getting on the road? And then in the 90s it was ZZ Top. Every decade has it. This decade is Iron Maiden for sure.
The main decade.
Okay, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, brother. Speaking of ZZ Top, any word? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was ZZ Top. Any word on ZZ Ward coming around?
ZZ Ward?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Not that I know of.
It's not a clothing store for ZZ Top.
Yeah, I don't know.
No idea.
Any news on Wasp rescheduling at Oakdale?
No plans on it at all at this point.
Carrie from Stratford wants to know about Bryan Adams.
Bryan Adams is going to tour next summer, and I expect we'll have him at Mohegan Sun, but we're working on it right now.
He's a funny dude. His whole band is funny. He had a guitar player, man, cracked me up the entire time.
No, it'd be good to get him back, too.
Yeah.
Always draws well, good crowd, a lot of fun. He's fun, you're right. He's fun. Good personality. Fun to be with backstage. Regular guy. I love going to sit backstage with Bryan Adams, no question about it.
I feel like I would have met Billy Idol if not for Bryan Adams. He runs a tight backstage, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because at Mohegan Sun, we were back there with Tom Cantone, and Tom was like, yeah, you know, I'd bring you back to say hi to Billy, but Bryan doesn't want anyone back there.
Right. And yell, who is that, Jazz?
Is that the guy who wants to choke out Mother Nature?
I heard what you said.
Don't let him back here.
He cuts like a knife.
Let's see. This is from William Smith. So Will Smith wants to know, Dream Theater, back to the Oakdale. Oh, did I just ask you that one?
No, they're playing Oakdale.
Well, nice. Okay.
On sale now, actually.
Done.
Go buy a ticket.
All right, the last show sold out, I guess. Right.
Well, this show, we had to add extra tickets. We were going to put it in the small house. Now we just open up the balcony, and if that sells, we're going to open up the walls. I mean, it's already ahead of any time they've ever played Oakdale.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
They've got their drummer back.
Nice.
Mike, the Uber guy.
What's going on, guys? Been a long time.
Hello.
Hey, any word on Baby Metal coming around?
Oh, no.
It's funny. We got that last week, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
No, listen, we had Baby Metal at Oakdale about a month and a half ago. Sold the place out. It was great. And if they come back from Japan, we'll bring them back in.
Anything on Nightwish?
Nothing. Nothing on Nightwish.
Nothing.
Nope.
Ugh. All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Damn.
Brenna and
something good.
Brenna and Glastonbury wants to know about Billy Squire.
You know what? He doesn't tour much anymore, but if he came around, I would definitely book him at Oakdale, but he doesn't tour very much anymore.
He's rich.
He is very rich.
Very rich.
But Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation on the show. It's
you could tell people why he's so rich.
Yeah, he was smart to buy stock. And what was it?
Microsoft, right?
Microsoft, back in the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, he got very wealthy.
Yep.
Seeing how it is Halloween, have you ever had to charge a band for cleanup for, like, you know, Gwar or any of those bands that, like, spit blood everywhere and, you know, go bananas?
We have to do that often, actually. If you see confetti come down, we have to charge the band to clean up the confetti because it gets in the seats.
Wow.
Oh. I know that one because we did the toy drive and we did it at the Oakdale and we announced a number and I thought, hey, you know what would be cool? Let's blow off a confetti cannon when we announce the number.
Right. What a great idea.
The only time we've ever done it, I picked the Oakdale to do it. Like, right. I couldn't pick other places.
Right.
And then we got this bill.
You're inspired. Is that per piece?
No, because it's got to get cleaned up by someone.
This is true.
Someone's got to pay for it.
Yep, we did.
What about, like, Gwar, you know, because they're...
Insane Clown Posse, Gwar... All those acts that really throw stuff in, absolutely. It's part of the deal. We had an extra $500 for cleanup, and the band pays for it.
Wow. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation is on. Richard in Danbury, what's your question?
Yes, Jim. I wonder if you remember a place called the Stone Balloon in New Haven.
Sure, I do.
Stone Balloon.
Oh, I don't
remember. Stone Balloon, Neil Young played there, actually.
Really? I never heard of it.
I went to see... a show there in 1968 with a friend of mine, and it was three acts. The first act was from Boston. I can't remember the name. My friend lived upstairs from them. The second act was Buddy Guy Jr. Wells, and the third act was somebody I never heard of, Jethro Tull.
Yeah, that was before I did shows in Connecticut, but it was a late 60s club. And they had Neil Young, Jethro Tull. They were toads before toads.
Wow.
Is the best way to say it.
Holy cow. Never heard of them.
The Stone Balloon. That's cool.
Until today.
Right.
It was below Pegnataro's grocery
supermarket
store.
Right. Exactly.
Underground.
Who got the name first? Led Zeppelin or Stone Balloon? I mean, it's very similar.
Right.
One's much bigger.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of the same principle. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation on the show, getting lots of calls here. He just got a picture of what, Jimmy?
I actually just sent it to you. I texted it to you guys. Timothy Wood, who is an archivist of rock and roll, no question about it, just sent me a picture of the Stone Balloon ad now through Sunday. So he played multiple nights there. From England, Jethro Tull plus Tony Mason. It was at 94 York Street, which I guess is sort of near Toads. Isn't Toads on York Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
What's the number of Toads? I should know this. I think it's 300 York Street.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's 300. I think you're right. So that means it was more towards
town. It's 300.
Town.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was more towards into town. But I just texted you the ad. Thank you, Tim.
It is something. You could tell it's like hand-drawn by an artist.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah,
and it was from 1969.
Wow. You know what we should do next week? We should do all the national acts we saw in small clubs in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
We had so many.
Cool idea.
Domingo in Bridgeport wants to know about Bon Jovi. Hey, Domingo.
Yeah, they're coming around.
I expect we'll see Bon Jovi around next year. He's working on getting his voice together. He's working on putting out a new album and doing voice exercises. And I think we'll see him out touring next year.
Nice.
That's great news. Thank you, Domingo.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Guilford.
Hey. Good morning.
Morning.
This is my favorite time of the week when you're on, let me tell you. When you're doing your bookings, do you get the venue and then try to fill it, or do you get the artist first and then try to find a home for them?
We get the artist first. Good question. We get called by the agent, and they'll say, Rod Stewart's touring. We'd love to play Connecticut. Where do you think you should play? And I'll say, I'll give a couple of suggestions, and they'll run it by the management, and they'll come back to me. They'll choose the venue, and then I'll get the dates that are open in the venue, and then it's like a jigsaw puzzle. They'll put a tour together, okay, and hopefully Connecticut will fit on the tour in the dates that I give them that are open.
So someone calls you and says, hey, I got Rod Stewart coming, and then how do you decide, do I call Howard, do I call Tom?
Well, we have their calendars.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
So we know it's right. Available. We have their calendar. Need to call either
hey,
one.
Chaz, but
we
always, that was my next question.
Yeah.
Well, we always call Tom.
How do the artists always call you, or their agents, to say, we want to come into the area, can you find a home for us?
Well, that happens a bunch of times, but Connecticut not being a must-play market, that happened when I ran New York and Philly, which was great. Just sit back and they'd call you and just find a date because they had to play New York.
Nice.
Or Philadelphia. When it's Connecticut, we get calls because it's a good market, but we also have to make calls. If we hear that Rod Stewart's touring, we call up, hey, we'd love to have Connecticut. Well, we also have Albany and Syracuse and Buffalo and all these other similar-sized markets, and we have to then work on relationships, or as I call begging, and and then we try to get, there are 20 major markets and there are 10 secondary markets on a 30-city tour. We're one of the last 10, so we got to work hard in getting it. And that's getting harder and harder these days.
Okay,
Jimmy,
thank you.
Great questions. Call early next week.
Yeah, dude.
You have good questions.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you. You ever have like Howard or Tom call you and say, Jimmy, I would have, why didn't we get Rod Stewart?
All the time.
That'd be yes.
All the time.
That'd be yes.
And, you know, I could understand that.
Of
but,
course,
you
yeah.
know, it's one of those, you see the phone go off, you're like, oh, boy.
I try to balance it all the time.
I want to take this one right now.
Yeah.
You know, Rod Stewart's a perfect example. I try to balance it. Rod Stewart played in 22 down in up in Mohegan Sun. In 2023, they played Bridgeport. 2024, they played Mohegan Sun.
Ah.
And I think in 2025, they're going to play Mohegan Sun again.
Now, you had the Doobie Brothers in Hartford and Mohegan Sun.
Yes.
Within, it felt like months.
Yeah.
Well, we never have them on sale at the same time, but I'm a firm believer that if you live in Fairfield County, you're really not going to a concert all the way up in Uncasville, Connecticut. That is sort of, if you live in Fairfield County, you go to New York to see concerts. It's a real long ride to Uncasville. So I've always said you can play both at the same time, but Tom doesn't feel that way. So, and we love Tom, so we give to Tom.
Of course.
How did that work out? I know the Doobie sold out in Hartford, right?
Yes, and it did very well. It sold out at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport, yes.
Yes.
And then it did very, very well up in Mohegan Sun. Same thing with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Played this past summer in Bridgeport. It's playing December at Mohegan Sun.
Especially when the band is really good.
Yep.
Like, that's a band I would go see twice in one season.
Right.
You know, Doobie Brothers. They just sound so great.
It's
and they
party.
Play all the hits. It's everything you want.
Yeah.
Joe the barber's on. He normally annoys me, but it's his birthday today, so we're going to make sure he gets on the show.
How do you know? He didn't tell us every single day of October.
Right, no hints at all.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Hey, my first time, Madison Square, not my first time at the Garden, but 1986, my birthday, Halloween, I was there for the Crackdown concert, was the reunions of the Allman Brothers, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Carlos Santana, Run DMC. Were you a part of that, Jimmy?
No, I wasn't. I actually don't even remember it because it sounds like a great show. But no,
Oh, yeah, it was great. I even have a program from it, too.
Okay.
It was unbelievable.
Great, great show.
So really did
your
happen.
Question is, does Jimmy remember your birthday from what?
Well, we just kind of wondered if he was part of that show because I figured because he is Allman Brothers at Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I think came that following summer.
Right.
To Lake Compounds from 86. Because that was their beginning of getting back to tour.
I will say this, Joe, how many times have you been to the Amp?
Oh, yeah. Creed was my 50th show.
Wow.
50th.
Wow.
Yep.
So a great show, too.
I could have bought a car.
Well, Jimmy, that's part of that Porsche,
right?
Thanks to Joe the Barber.
The part you can't touch.
And the Hamptons. I'm waiting for my invite.
All right, happy birthday, Joe.
Guess what's
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Wow, we got lots of questions. I didn't get to them.
Wow.
But, all right, that's what next week is for.
Okay.
So, any announcements coming in the next
We think we're putting our first show on sale for the Amp in Bridgeport on November. We'll announce it on November 8th.
Oh.
We're working on that. Okay. And still working on Rod Stewart at Mohegan Sun, which I think we'll announce sometime in November.
The first show at the Amp next year, is that a classic rock show?
It's the first show to go on sale.
Oh, okay.
It's not a classic rock show, but I think it's a good PLR show.
Oh,
fun. Nice.
Yep. All right, can't wait. Maybe we'll find out next week when you're on.
That might be possible.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jimmy Koplik.
Stump the Chumps.
Okay, happy Halloween. It's Friday the 13th, Trivia, the movie. 203-882-9757. Stump us. Get in the running to see Dropkick Murphys. Jeff, New Haven.
Enos gives Annie a lift trying to help her to get to Camp Crystal Lake. What is the phone number on the side of his truck?
347-something. 347. Oh, just read this one. Anyone know the last four numbers?
Anyone remember the last four?
347-1023-2500.
Brian, was that you?
Yeah.
Jeff, is it what he said?
No, it's not.
Oh.
I think he's 2500. I'm flatlining right now.
Right.
By the way, I'm sleep deprived. The
That's
damn Yankees.
I want to. I want to say 347-1023.
1023. You'd remember.
Well, yeah, I just read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff, what is it?
He was close. It's 347-1063.
That was close. Is right.
Well, you're in the running, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice.
All right, Brian on the road is helping us with these questions. Friday the 13th Trivia. John and Clinton.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. My question is, what Connecticut location was originally considered for a filming location on Friday the 13th?
All right, now, again, we typically only use questions that you can answer if you saw the movie.
Right.
Fair enough.
But we'll take this. We don't know. No one knows. What's the answer?
All right, hold on. Let me think. I might know this one.
Oh, Brian might know.
All right. Give me a moment.
Bantam Lake.
I heard Kent.
Bantam Lake. No. Yeah, well, that's a good one. Either that or Candlewood.
That's it.
Candlewood.
No to both of those.
Damn it.
Ah.
All right, what's the answer?
All right.
John?
Give up?
What was the answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, usually when I say what's the answer, I'm giving up. Yeah,
exactly, yes.
I'm sorry. My connection's terrible. I apologize.
No, I
Camp Hazen in Chester, Connecticut.
What was it? Camp what?
Camp Hazen. It's a YMCA camp in Chester, Connecticut.
Thank you. It's always fun to see the YMCA.
All right, thank you, John.
Yeah, I would never guess that
right,
one.
Thank you, guys.
Actually, that would be funny if they were doing like the YMCA dance, and then this freaking guy with a hockey mask comes out and just like starts chopping people's arms off.
It's fun,
and then they can't do the Y or the M.
The try spell help.
I'd love to see Jason do the dance though. That would be a good one.
Right, he's about to kill everyone, yeah. And then he's like, oh, well, I got to do a YMCA.
Put some machete down as I was doing YMCA. Keep the song going! Keep the song going!
Freddie shows up, and they all just do the dance together.
Ken Oxford!
Hey, what's up? Who played the first murder victim in Friday the 13th film?
Who played the first murder victim?
Like the actual actress name or actor?
Trying to think, who was the first one to go? Was it a girl?
Was it Kevin Bacon? Brian?
Bacon sizzles.
Who played the first murder victim?
I thought it was a girl in the woods.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a dead?
I'm pretty sure it was a female, right?
Right.
No.
No.
It was a dude. Was the guy in a wheelchair? He's always got a wheelchair.
I think that was in three.
I'm
thinking Kevin Bacon. I'm thinking that's why it's a significant question.
Right.
These are tough questions.
I know he was definitely in Friday the 13th.
I mean, Kevin Bacon, yeah, that would have been about the right time, yeah.
Right.
All right, we'll go with Kevin Bacon.
I have nothing to add here. Yeah, I don't know.
Bacon, Bacon.
No. Willie Adams.
Ah.
And what happened? Adam. Remind me of the scene.
I don't, because I had a question about which towns it was filmed in Connecticut, but you guys asked the last guy, so gotcha. I just looked it up.
Gotcha. Okay. Lieutenant Research.
Thank you, Ken.
You got it.
All right. You're in the running for Dropkick Murphy tickets.
Good
it's
job.
Friday the 13th trivia. Sarah.
All right. Towards the beginning of the movie, they show a cabin with kids sleeping inside. What does the sign on the door
Fox.
Say?
Fox.
Ah, got it.
Nice.
Good one, Nate.
Yay.
That was quick.
Matt in Stanford.
I was quick.
Who is Jason's first kill in the series?
Zero. Well, no, for the first.
His
mom did the first killings, right?
Right. He's saying the first kill in the series. So that would be in two.
Oh, damn it. Was it Kevin Bacon?
Not Kevin Bacon.
So are you saying who's the very first person that Jason killed?
Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, well, that I think it was a relative.
Justified.
I mean, this...
Relative.
Is it?
I mean, his mom was alive, and so you know, at least a couple.
Don't they kill the survivor from the first movie? Isn't?
Oh yeah, is it Alice? It's Alice.
Alice.
Yes, it's Alice.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Nice. Got one.
Job. Alice doesn't. We got it.
Yep.
Goodbye, Matt.
Yeah, get out of here, Matt.
Yeah,
John of Waterbury.
Alice.
How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Good, thanks.
Hi. Hey, who composed the theme music for the movie?
Well, we know that from watching the movie.
Wouldn't it be on the credits?
I don't know.
Be on the credits.
I think he's got us.
I can't
it
read.
Would be on the credits.
I can't read.
Hall & Oates.
Oh, no. Could you imagine?
That's our answer. We're staying with it. John, what's the answer?
Oh, that was easy for me, I guess. Harry Manfredini.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are close. Houdini.
Thank you. You're in the running.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates.
My friends wonder why I kill you all the time. What can I say?
Oh, here he comes.
That would be great.
It's the mashup we didn't know we needed.
Kill it soon, man.
Nice. That's just fun.
Charlie?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. John?
Good morning.
I'm going to take a machete to this phone call.
Come on, man. What do you got?
Did someone ask about what the real lake was? Name?
Crystal Lake?
The name of Crystal Lake.
What we do, Charlie, is we you have to be able to answer the question if you watch the movie.
Right.
All right. What room? There was five rooms in the lake house. What room was the person stabbed through the bottom of the bed?
The bedroom?
The bedroom, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
five rooms.
The guy and the girl were in there. It was the arrow.
Yeah, I threw the necklace.
I think they showed the number on the door because I used to live in the house. So.
I thought.
Wait.
What?
Hold it. What'd you say?
Hold the phone.
Say that again,
Charlie.
Huh?
I used to live in the house where they filmed part two on the property.
What?
Are you serious?
It's a cabin on a campground.
Are you wearing a mask?
It was the previous owner that let them film there.
Oh.
She had to go live in a campground.
He's gone
pretty well. They took over her property. She got about, I don't know, $6,000 or $8,000 for it, and her brother didn't even know they were, you know, dual owners, and her brother's son or nephew took his father to the movie. He didn't want to go to this movie. He said, "No, you got to see this movie." And Janet, well, the owner never told her brother that she
surprise
rent her house for the movie.
Wow,
that's wild.
Holy cow,
crazy.
I don't know if I think they showed the number
three,
the door of the room. Did you answer?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Two.
Why not? Huh?
It was two.
It was two.
Off by one.
All right, Charlie. You're in the running.
Thank you, sir.
Have all right.
I was going to go with, 49, but I figured,
Yeah.
Big cabin.
Huge.
All right, Brian on the road, thank you for your help. Appreciate it. Happy Halloween.